Capture that control. Show us a beautiful sight.
Turn your eyes to the skies. It's time for Spaced Out on 95BFM. Thanks to Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
Good morning, David.
Good morning, Alice.
How are you going this morning?
I'm going pretty well. I just realised the show's been going for 6 years.
Wow, that's insane.
Yeah, I did the first Spaced Out show on the 1st of July in 2011.
Golly.
Yeah.
That's...
It just sort of caught up with me, really. 6 years. Pretty amazing.
That's a wee while.
Yeah.
Longer than I've been around the station, for sure.
I wasn't trying to. Yeah.
No, congratulations, that's cool.
Oh, thank you.
I'm sure a lot of listeners have been listening for the full 6 years.
I hope they have.
Okay, so we're going to talk about the America's Cup builders.
Yeah, well, after we won the Cup, there was some news there about 40 workers involved in building the winning catamaran losing their jobs at one of the companies in Auckland. But it turns out that a number of the guys, especially those working with carbon fibre, have moved across to Rocket Lab.
Cool.
So there's a company, of course, in New Zealand that sent a rocket up a few weeks ago, and they're aiming to be sending them up once a month. They'll be doing that in 2 or 3 months' time. And they need lots of people to build those rockets, which involve a lot of carbon fibre. So they've got about 25 in the composites team at the moment, and about a third of those worked on Team New Zealand.
Awesome.
Yeah, so some of these skills are transferable. For Rocket Lab, they say, you know, for America's Cup, you've got to be the best. At Rocket Lab, you've got to be the best of the best. So.
That's very cool.
I'm
sure I've told you before, but I don't do much with it now. But in a previous life, I did study engineering and did a bit of material stuff. So definitely like working on the yacht stuff if you were into aerodynamics. And Rocket Lab was kind of, you know, like that was the peak. That was the coolest job I think you could get with my degree.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I know you do programming and that sort of thing.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Anyway, but very cool to hear that there's some great innovation and some cool scientists and engineers doing.
Although it was funny to read that when the America's Cup boat did its topsy-turvy manoeuvre, they couldn't get any help from the others, not France especially. It was in the news this morning, but they were actually drying the composite using the secretary's hair dryers. Not quite high tech.
Hey, man, it's a solution, you know? You've got to be adaptable.
Absolutely, whatever works.
Great. Okay, let's move along. Stephen Hawking versus Donald Trump. It sounds like some kind of wrestling match. But very comical.
Well, of course, Stephen Hawking, that would not be possible because he's been confined to a wheelchair.
Mental wrestling.
Yeah, of course, Donald Trump pulled America out of the Paris Climate Change Agreement, causing condemnation from politicians and scientists around the world. I mean, even Russia is still a signatory to that agreement. So I don't know if Putin and Trump discussed that in their meeting a few hours ago. But now Stephen Hawking has piped up. It's actually his 75th birthday, and he was talking on the BBC about it, and he was saying basically we're close to the tipping point where global warming becomes irreversible. I mean, no scientists actually know when that tipping point will be reached. They're still learning and finding out when that tipping point might be. The trouble is it might discover it after it's actually happened. And, of course, being an astronomer and a physicist, Stephen Hawking knows too well that runaway greenhouse effect on Venus is something that we don't want to happen here. So, but I'd like to put those two in a room and see what would happen.
I can't even, I mean, again, I try not to get too political, but I just can't even imagine that Donald Trump could, like, follow an argument with Stephen Hawking.
No, well, I agree. I mean, it probably end up having to be Donald Trump's tweets versus the synthesized voice of Hawking, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
That'd be quite amazing. Anyway,
Okay, let's move on. So SpaceX.
Yeah, well, SpaceX, of course, they've been sending rockets up that have come back and landed quite a few times now, and they've sent two of them that have gone up for a second time, so they're reusing their rockets now. And now they've, on the 4th of July, of course, why would they miss the opportunity of choosing Independence Day? They brought one of their capsules down. So when they send the rockets up, the rocket doesn't go into space, it's the capsule, and they send cargo up to the International Space Station. The capsule's called Dragon, so it's the Dragon space capsule. And up till now, they land them in the Pacific Ocean, a bit the way the Apollo moon landing craft did, and then they recover them. And now they've sent and recovered one that's gone up previously. So this one went up in 2014, came back, they fixed it up, sent it up to the space station a second time, and they've recovered it from the Pacific Ocean. So now they've got a reusable space capsule as well as reusable rockets.
Very cool.
Yeah. So they're gradually getting to their recycled aims and goals. Yeah.
That's very, very cool. Okay, and a new supercomputer, or new supercomputers.
Yeah, it's three supercomputers, actually. New Zealand already has two of them, and they're pretty powerful. In fact, they're very powerful. But they're not powerful enough for what people need to do down the track. So they're being replaced by three new supercomputers. This is at Niwa in Wellington, and at the University of Auckland up here. And they'll have 10 times the computing capability and more than 4 times the storage capacity of their predecessors.
Wow.
So that sounds a lot, because you're increasing something that was already pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So these are Cray supercomputers. And to put it in perspective, if you put these computers together, they have 33,500 computing cores. So you know you have a laptop and it's, you know, got 2 or 4 or 8 computing cores. This is equivalent to 33,500 of them, which is about the same as 16,000 top-line laptops.
Wow.
All working together. It's enough storage to hold 3 million DVDs online. I mean, it's just absolutely astounding, the capability. The three computers together weigh 23 tons, which sounds pretty heavy, but if you took the equivalent 16,000 laptops, they would weigh nearly 40 tons.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just so much faster. The main computer out of the three would put through the equivalent of nearly 1.5 petaflops. What that means is nearly 1.5 trillion calculations per second.
Golly. Golly, yeah, gosh.
So 1.5 million calculations per second.
That's pretty cool. What are they being used for?
Well, of course, with climate and weather forecasting, that's part of it, but also other natural hazards, including earthquakes and so on, biomedical research, and then also computational chemistry and astronomy. So a lot of the things these days, they do modeling, and say if you in astronomy, for instance, say a galaxy, if you can model, you know, a billion stars instead of 100 stars, the model's going to be more accurate, but you need so much more computing power to do it. So even with this sort of capability, running one of these simulations might take a few days.
Yeah.
You know, it's just mind-boggling the amount of computing power that is demanded for these sort of applications these days. For weather forecasting, hopefully it means everything gets a bit more accurate. Hopefully.
That is very cool. So did you say they're on their way, or they've been set up now?
They're on their way.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I bet there'll be some very excited people down the labs down there.
Absolutely.
Okay, cool. What's happening at Stardome?
At Stardome, we've got the school holidays starting next week for 2 weeks. So this time round, we're focusing on dinosaurs and dragons.
Cool.
So at 10 o'clock and 1 o'clock, we have the show Dinosaurs at Dusk. So learn about dinosaurs, about flight, the development of flight and animals at that time, and, of course, the demise of dinosaurs with the asteroid impact 60 million years ago. The 2 o'clock show is dragons, real myths and unreal creatures. And for each of those, after the show, you go through to various demonstrations and experiments and activities that are pretty cool, including dry ice, carbon dioxide ice experiments, and some water bottle rocket launching out the back if the weather behaves itself. So it's $12 for children, $10 for adults. Bookings are absolutely necessary to make sure you've got a place for those shows.
Sounds great.
We also have the show Incoming this month, which is entirely about asteroids and comets colliding with our planet. So that sort of links up with the dinosaur show. That's on Friday and Saturday nights at 9:30 p.m. That's for the whole month. So that's the evening show. We also have E.T. the Extraterrestrial. We have our science fiction movie night once a month. And this time round, it's on Wednesday, the 19th of July. So you can see E.T. It's not a 360-degree show, but it's on the big screen. That's $25 for adults and $15 for children. So we've got quite a bit in the next couple of weeks, which is really good.
Awesome. If you have some kids, maybe bring them along. Or I'm pretty tempted. I haven't seen E.T. in so many years.
Oh, right.
I'm trying to remember the last time that I watched that movie. It's probably
quite
young.
You've got to bring tissues.
Definitely. Hey, well, thanks, David, and congratulations on six years.
Thank you. Yeah. Maybe I'll bump into you at Neil deGrasse Tyson's talk tomorrow afternoon at Spark Arena.
Oh, yeah, of course, of course.
Yeah.
And we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Look forward to it, Alice.
Bye.
Bye.
That was Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.